This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
I want you to take your Bibles and go to the book of 2 Timothy. I'll give you just a quick little thought. I had another message for this morning. I looked at a scripture, though, yesterday morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. I'm going to ask Ms. Kim, if she will, to put that up on the screen and to leave it there so you can look at it. I've talked a little bit about this, if you've been around here. I want to talk to you about it this morning on the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. I want you to read this verse with me, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. Let's read it together. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Let's read that together again. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. I want to take just that single thought, the spirit of fear. And it is a dangerous thing when a preacher lifts a verse up without giving the surrounding verses. It's not wise, in fact. It's about as wise as taking the ingredient out of a cake and expecting to bake an entire cake. You've got to have the whole thing, so let me give you the whole picture here. Because I know what somebody's thinking this morning, invariably, when I read that scripture, you're thinking, yeah, that's a good verse. Yeah, I've got that underlined in my Bible, but that does not apply to me. I am living in the real world. You see, we have this way of looking at people in the Bible and feeling like that we are very different from them. We look at them and we come up with all types of excuses. And we look and we say, yeah, but. Man, the preacher gets up and I know what you do. I am not in your cars, but I know the conversations you have within your mind when you leave here. You go, somebody will say, yeah, that was good. Yeah, but. And I know exactly how it operates. That was a good, yeah, but. Don't you think you need to listen to that? Yeah, but. I know exactly what happens because we fear and think that we are not just like these people. So let me put you in the mindset of where Paul is in 2 Timothy. Whenever Paul writes in 2 Timothy to his understudy Timothy, you got to think about this. Paul is not at the Ritz-Carlton, Rome. He is not even at the Motel 6. In fact, Paul's not even at a Hojo in Rome. When Paul writes 2 Timothy, he is in a Roman prison, shackled with Roman chains to a Roman guard that is about to meet a Roman axe against his Roman neck and end his entire life. Paul is not in a good place. But yet into that scene, Paul makes this statement. We do not have the spirit of fear, but we have the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. Yeah, Paul, isn't it good to know that life is good? Yeah, it is good, but I'm not having it so good right now. Into that scene, he says, when things are not good, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And when the doctor's report is not good, into that scene, Paul says, yeah, but God hath not given us the spirit of fear. When things are low down, yeah, but God hath not given us the spirit of fear. The doctor's report came back and they used that ugly cancer word, yeah, but God hath not given us a spirit of fear. The doctor or the boss man gave me that pink slip, yeah, but God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Preacher, I'm a business owner and I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. Yeah, but God hath not given us the spirit of fear. We have a lot of pastors that watch us online, so let me just talk to a preacher right quick. I know that the church is this and I know the people are that, but God hath not given us the spirit of fear. There are many wounded sheep in this little flock this morning, and you've come from this place and you've come from that place in your life, and it almost seems too good to be true. A church where God would move and a church where the people would love me. Yeah, but let me just throw a yeah, but into your yeah, but, that there is a God. I know you've been hurt. Yeah, but you don't know the God that I serve. He has not given the spirit of fear. I promise you this morning that God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So into that scene, Paul says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. I'm going to give you three questions. Ask them, then answer them, and then I'm going to leave you to yourself to do with them what you want. And if you get to the end of this and yeah, but it, then you can yeah, but it, but you won't have any reason to yeah, but it. So you just hold on for you, yeah, but, and then hear what I've got to say. Then you can yeah, but, if you still want to yeah, but. One question that I've got to ask is, what is the spirit of of fear. Over the last several months, I've been preaching to our church on the different demonic spirits in the Bible. And one way that you know which demonic spirit, how a demonic spirit is a demonic spirit, because it will always say the spirit of something, and that spirit will be lowercase. So what did Paul say here? That God hath not given. That word given, it means to allow. It means to permit. God hath not given. He has not allowed that spirit of fear into our life. What does that mean? It means that God didn't open the doorway. If you have a spirit of fear, it was not because God put it there. So then what is that spirit? That spirit of fear, it is a demonic presence. It is something that the demons of hell will send into your life that God will not put it there. It's not that God is testing you. It's that the devil is trying to trouble you. It's not that God is trying to grow you and he sent something. It is that the devil is trying to destroy you and keep you from growing. And let me say this. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're white, black, purple, red, green, blue, magenta, or fuchsia. It does not matter what color. It does not matter what sex, male, female. It does not matter rich or poor. Every single one of us deal with fear. I don't have to define fear. I don't have to go over what it means. If you've been breathing longer than 35 seconds on this Sunday, April 29th, you know what it's like to be afraid of something. It's impartial fear. It grips every single one of us. It'll grab the white man, the black man. It'll grab the male man, M-A-L-E, not the M-A-I-L. It will, and it'll grab the M-A-I-L and the M-A-L-E. It'll grab the male man. It'll grab the female woman. It'll grab anybody that is breathing. It'll grab the Christian on the pew. It'll grab the piano player. It'll grab the choir member. It'll grab the organ players, the guitar players, the bass players. It'll grab the preacher. It grabs the pastor. It'll grab absolutely anybody. And it'll grab you at the most inopportune times. It'll get in your mind and it'll paralyze you. I am a keen example of that. You all know that I have problems. I have real problems. They start up here and they affect everything. I am nervous. I stay nervous. I'm nervous when I wake up. I'm nervous when I go to sleep. I'm nervous when I preach. And I'm nervous when I shake hands. I mean, I'm nervous. But I've never been nervous checking out at a BP gas station until Tuesday. I was preaching in Statesville, and so a group of guys had gone with me each night. And Tuesday night, I had a group of guys. And we were in the van. We had stopped up here at the gas station, at the BP gas station. And we were getting some gas. I went in. I felt my blood sugar going down. I had to get me a Coca-Cola and some peanuts. And so I went in. And I go up to the radio. And I was wearing exactly what I'm wearing today. I had on my vest, had on my tie, had on my white shirt, had on my breeches, had on my shoes. And I go in and look. I try not to make a scene when I go in place. I just go in. It just comes natural. I talk to people. I don't know why, I just do it. But this time, I wasn't having a conversation. I just wanted my ice-cold Coca-Cola, and I wanted my salted peanuts. So I grab them off of the shelf, I put the drink under the fountain, I get it, and I go to the register. I was at the register, and I'm always keenly aware of my surroundings. The last thing I want to be involved in is a robbery. All right? You know that guy, time. You know that guy on the news, whenever the robbery happens, there's the guy behind the register, there's the guy with the gun, and then there's the guy that's in line, and he slowly just backs out and goes out the door. That's me, Jack. I'm looking. I am not going down in a blaze of glory. I may go down in a car wreck. I may go down with cancer, but God be my helper. I will not go down at the BP gas station. I thought so until Tuesday. Man, I walked in that BP gas station. I had my Coke. I was trying to pay. I was counting out the ones and counting out the cash. And all of a sudden, I felt a presence come up behind me. A big presence. I'm talking big. I didn't look. What are you yelling, Bob? You didn't help me. You and Larry and Keith sat in the van and let me get killed. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to get you back. Don't you worry. All of a sudden, I felt a presence come up. I didn't look. I didn't turn around. And all of a sudden, this is exactly what I heard. I know y'all think I exaggerate my stories, but I'm telling you the truth. God be my helper and witness. He said, shopper attack. Shut up, Carrie. I was scared out of my ever-loving mind. I didn't turn around. I was hoping, like my kids, I was hoping if I ignored it, it would go away. It didn't. A fear paralyzed me from the top of my... Now, look, I was just buying a Coke and peanuts, and it hit me. All of a sudden, I keep counting, and I hear it louder. Shopper attack. Well, this is exactly what I said. I ain't going down like this. You're going to shoot me. You're going to shoot me in the front. You're not going to pop one in my back. You're going to shoot me in the front. And I turn around, and this is what that guy's doing. He's doing this. I got on my vest. He's pretending like he's going, sharp as a tack, man. You sharp as a tack. Scared out of my mind, honey. I've never been so scared in all my life, but here's what I'm trying to tell you. That's exactly the way the devil. You can be buying, you can be riding, you can be driving, you can be sitting, you can be sleeping, you can be in church. All of a sudden that fear will come over you. It'll get your mind off one side. It'll get your mind off the other side. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a singer. You can be an average Christian. You can be a normal Christian, an upside Christian, and that fear will grip you. That fear will rip you, and you can't explain it. All you know is that God's told you to march in a direction. God's told you to go in a path, and it's just gripped you. It's kept you from moving. It's kept you from going. It's kept you from preaching. It's kept you from singing. It's kept you from doing it. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what's interesting to me about this. The Bible says God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear. Now, here's what's interesting. In English, we have one word for fear, F-E-A-R. But in the Greek, there are different words. The normal word, when you read fear in the Bible, it's the word phobos. P-H-O-B-O-S, phobos. We get our word phobia from it. Now, I'm not even going to go into the phobias I read about yesterday, because there's some crazy people out there. Look. I may have a BP-a-phobia about getting shot at the BP, but there's some people that have phobias about having phobias. They're scared of being scared. But here's what I got when I looked at that word. It's not the word phobia. It's a word that has never been used in the entire New Testament. It's called deleia. And it means cowardice or timidity. Now, here is my question that I ask. Why is it that Paul, at the end of his life, the last letter he wrote, why does he here use a new word he's never ever used before? Here's why. Paul is at a new level in his spiritual journey. Therefore, he is facing a new level of fear that he's never faced before. There are some of you, you're walking through valleys today. It's because you've never been where you've been before, and that's why you've never faced what you're facing right now. That's why some of you, you don't know how to handle it. You don't know what to do. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know how to operate. It's because you're in a new level, and you're dealing with a new devil. But here is what you've got to understand. If you're facing something today you've never faced before, understand, it is because you're at a new place that you've never been before. You're walking farther with God. You're going farther with God. You're in a new place with God. You're in a new area with God. You're in new territory, honey. And here's what you've got to know. When you go farther with God and in new territory with God, you're going to fight new devils and fears like you've never fought before. I have told our deacons, I have told some of the men that pray with me and pray for me. Heath's here this morning. I've told Heath, I don't know how many times, I said, Heath, I have never ever woke up afraid like I've been waking up here the last several months. Afraid of this, afraid of that. I'm talking those spiritual fears where the devil tells you this and the devil tells you that. Now watch this. The devil will never, ever, ever make you fear the command of God. He'll make you fear the consequences of following the command of God. Watch this. When God called me to preach, he did not say, the devil did not tell me, Tyler, you can't preach. You know why? I had a word from God. Look, you may make me doubt a lot of things, but when I get a word from God, honey, we're marching forward. And if you don't want to march, you can stay back. But when I get that word, but this is what the devil will not say, Tyler, you can't preach. But he'll say, Tyler, if you preach, no one will listen. Right, amen. If you preach, nobody will come hear you. He'll tell you, the God will tell you to give a certain amount of money or go talk to somebody. And you know it's in your heart. And you never say, God, I can't do that. I'm not going to do it. It's what you say, God, they won't listen. God, we don't have time. God, if I do that, I can't afford to do this. There's some of you here today and you have not been saved and you're not struggling. You know you need to get saved. You know you need to throw in with God. You know you need to get right with God. You know you need to give your heart to God. But you're fighting and you're struggling and you're saying, but if I do that, this will happen. If I give in with God, that will happen. This is what you've got to understand. It is that new level and a new devil. But here's what I'm telling you. If you're at a new level, it is because you have arisen from the old level. It's because you thank God in heaven. It's because you're not where you used to be. You're not where you have been. You're where God wants you right now. And honey, if he got you here, he'll take you to the house and he'll get you to the next place. If you're facing new devils, you've arisen to new levels. What is the spirit of fear? It is that which we all face, which paralyzes us the same. Number two, who gives the spirit of fear? Well, look at what it says. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Here's my question. If not God, then who? The devil, the adversary, the enemy. Now, here is my question. If the devil is giving us fear, why would he do that? We only try to make those fear whom we fear ourselves. If I fear it, if I can get them to fear, watch this. When you're in the bar, the devil ain't gonna mess with you. Ain't. Isn't. Not gonna. Not messing with you. But you get yourself in the house of God and the Holy Ghost starts moving and he tells you to come down to that altar. That devil will all of a sudden start saying, wait a second, Jack. They know who you are. They know where you've been. You know you don't believe this. You know you don't believe that. This is the point. The devil is only afraid because of the territory you're marching into. And he's afraid. So if you are under attack, it is because you've been on the attack. If you are fighting a battle, it's because you're giving a battle. If you are struggling, it is because you have caused a struggle. If you are struggling in the new territory, it's because you've entered into the devil's territory. He's the adversary. He's the enemy. And this is my point. If he's fighting you, then you're against him. Then, honey, guess who's on your side? If you're fighting against him that way, then, honey, guess who's behind you? It's the good God of heaven. It's the great God of eternity. It's the Holy Ghost of God. Some of you are looking at me like a calf staring at a new gate. This is what I'm trying to tell you. If you are fighting that way and he's coming that way, then there must be somebody going that way that he doesn't like. And if I'm marching in the same direction with God, I say let the battle come. I say let the fight fight. I say let the bullets fly. I say let the sword swing. I'm on God's side and the battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. Amen. Now here, I'm done. Here's my point. I'm done. Man, I need one of them towels like T.D. Jakes has got. Stick it. Kleenex on me, it'll stick to my head, and y'all won't even say nothing to me. I'm just sit up here and preach like a goober up on this stage. So I just sit here and drain myself. Who gives the spirit of fear? Well, if God doesn't give it, then who gives it? The devil. Here's my question then. What does God give? What does it say? God hath not given us the spirit of fear. He gives four things. Power. Love. And a sound mind. You said four. Hold on, honey. I'll get to that at the end. Let me show you what power is. Power is the Greek word dynamis. And this is what it means. It means strength, ability, or ableness. What God calls you to, he will give you the ability to march through. What God calls you to face, he will give you the strength to face it down. If God is calling, you have the right, you have the ability, you have the ableness to go in it. I'm telling you, church family, God is calling us to deeper waters. God's moving in among our people. We're having to do these two services now. Look, I understand, I know, I got it. It's not the best thing in the whole world, but this is what I know. I'd rather be doing something that wasn't great, knowing God was blessing, than to march out here in my own way and see this thing turn into a little pinto that somebody stuck in a boiling pot. What is that? I don't know, but I don't want to be in it. This is what I'm trying to say. I want to go on God's side, and I know it's not perfect. I know it's not the most ideal thing, but if God's in it, He'll give us the ability to do it. He'll give us the ableness to do it. He'll take care of it. He'll pay the way. Wherever God calls us, He'll give us the power to march through it. Whatever you are facing, if God has called you to it, God will get you through it. Now, I'm not talking about the mess you made. This is a different ball game, Jack. You're talking JV stuff. I'm talking major league stuff. I'm talking about when God gives you that word in your soul, and all of a sudden it's clear, and then the fight comes. God said, I will help you. I will help you. Number two, He said, I'll give you love. Love. It's the Greek word agape, time out. Doesn't that seem like the dumbest thing to give somebody fighting? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. If I go into a battle, I ain't looking for love. I'm looking for a truckload of mean. Yeah. You get into a fight with somebody and just say, I love you. Yeah, that's smart. Let me tell you something, Co-Ray. You get married in a few months, and that blessed little lady that you're going to marry, and I know she's prim, I know she's proper, but they're all full of the devil. Don't believe it? Come talk to me, Larry, and Bob in just about a year. She comes at you with blood, just ready to bite your head off. You look at her and say, honey, I love you. You know what they'll be? Your last words. No. In a fight, you want a truckload of mean, but God doesn't give us. He gives us love, agape. In the Bible, there are four words. Well, in the New Testament Greek, there are four words for love. Three of them are used in the New Testament. You've got four words. Storge love, there's eros love, there's phileo love, and then there's agape love. Every time you see the word agape, it's always love attached to God. It's the kind of love God gives, and it's the kind of love God expects back in return. It's agape love. Watch this. You ready? When that spirit of fear comes and you are in the battle, why would God give you love? Here's why. If you are in a fight and you don't know how to fight, but yet you trust the one fighting with you, everything will be okay. Ladies, men, I joke a lot about this, and I joke a lot about, but every marriage, each partner is good at something. Each one of them has strengths and weaknesses, every single one of them. In your home, it may be one way. In my home, it's a different way. One of the things in my home, my wife basically takes care of everything. That's pretty much it. One thing I do handle are the finances. I just do. I don't know why, but I do. There are times in our finances when I say, you know, Erica, we're going to do this. We need to do this. It's a good investment, or this is a good thing here. She may not understand, but because she knows I love her and she loves me, perfect love casts out fear. Do you know what God will give you in the heat of the battle? He will put the love of God in your heart, and this is what that will show you. God, I love you, so I'm not going to quit. And I know you love me, and I know you won't lead me astray. God, I don't understand it, but I trust you. That's why God gives love. Number three, you know what else God will give? God will give love, power, and He'll give a sound mind. Now, when I read that, I thought that would be the Greek word for peace, but it isn't. In fact, it's a word that's not used anywhere else in the New Testament one time. Sophromisos is the word, and this is what it means. It doesn't mean peace. It means discipline. Why in the midst of the battle would God give us discipline? Not peace, discipline. Here's why. Number one, you know something. The only time that word's used is right here. There's another word in that verse I told you was only used one time. fear. So get this, there's a new level of fear I've not faced before. Therefore, there's going to be a new level of grace that I've not had before. What God teaches us in the battle is a lesson that we've never learned. Watch this. God gives us the discipline, the sound mind in the battle. Why do you need discipline? Discipline helps you do what you don't want to do when you know you need to do it. That's what the military does. Puts these boys through boot camp. And when they don't feel like getting up, they get up. And when they don't feel like making their bed, they make their bed. And when they don't feel like walking in line, they walk in line. You know what they've learned? They've not learned discipline. They've not learned peace. They've learned discipline. Watch this. You ready? I read it in a book like this. In the storm you're in, God will give you discipline. Because it's like this. When you are surrounded by a sky of birds and ask God to take the birds away, the author said, God will not take the birds away, but he will give you the wisdom so that they will not build a nest in your hair. What God will do and what God is teaching so many of you is how to push through the battle when all you want to do is quit. God gives you power. God gives you love, a sound mind. Remember, I said there's how many things? There's four things God gives. You ready? How many of you see the fourth thing? How many of you see it? Good. I had two people in the first service that raised their hand, and I told them that you don't see it because it's not there. Do you know why it's not there? Sometimes the Bible's clearer in what it doesn't say than what it does say. Watch this. Brother Scott, I'm done. If you want to play something, my brother, watch this. Remember, the devil gives the spirit of fear, right? Remember, whenever we said the spirit of something, that means it's a demon, right? It's a person. But power doesn't have spirit near it, does it? If it was me, right, and I would say, God will give to you the spirit of power, the spirit of love, the spirit of a sound mind. But God doesn't say that, does he? He just says, I'm going to give you power, I'm going to give you love, and a sound. So I've got a person fighting against me. So where are those three things going to come from? The reason a person doesn't have to show up in the battle is there is already a person with you in the battle. It's the Spirit of God. You felt alone, but you aren't alone because the Holy Ghost is still with you. I felt by myself. You're not by yourself. God's been with you the whole time. And now when you need it, the new level that brought a new devil now brings a new wave of the ability of God. I've never been where I've been before, preacher. I know. But God is already with you to take you to master and conquer that level. Our church is rising to a new level. I don't know what to do. Deacons don't. We've never been here, but we don't worry. Because the God that takes us there is already there with us. Christian, you don't have to be afraid. Because what you face, he's already been there with you. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the Spirit of God has given us power, love, and a sound mind.